It's so good to be in church in the middle of the week. Hallelujah. Well, it's good to see everybody. Did you come ready for the Word of God? Did you come ready for whatever the Holy Ghost has for us here tonight? I've got a message. I've got some things stewing. I'm going to give you a heads up. It's not, at least that I'm aware of, it just doesn't seem real teachy here tonight. But it might get a little preachy here tonight. I just feel like we're going to exhort some things and say some things. This is our last Wednesday night for just a little while, but that doesn't mean there won't be other things coming up on Wednesday nights, all right? This is the end of our Faith and Healing services for this semester. We'll pick these up right after the summer. And so I know that seems like a long time, but how many of you know this is going to go by very, very quickly? And so months just fly right by, but we're going to have some things brewing on some Wednesday nights, perhaps some fellowship times, you know, perhaps some mentoring times or whatever, and so be looking for that. Praise God. Turn with me in your Bibles. Go to the Gospel of John. I do have some notes here tonight, but they're very, very short and they're very limited. I don't really believe we're going to preach too much out of the notes here tonight. But just in case, we'll turn the notes on, right? Not that this is going to be extremely teachy or academic. We're just going to say some things. Praise God. Go over to John chapter 15. And if I had to give a name to this message, you already received it if you got the text message here today. But I'm going to call this message, "The Greatest Harvest Is Yet to Come." The greatest harvest is yet to come. You know, over these last few years in the body of Christ, you know, it's been a difficult time. And what I mean by that, there's been a lot of tests, a lot of challenges, a lot of trials, you know, over the past few years, you know, stemming back into, you know, the pandemic and then coming out of that and just a lot of, you know, challenges in the world in general, right? But also in the body of Christ. And sometimes when we go through a season that's challenging or trying, we start to feel like, oh, the best is behind us. You know, we start thinking, you know, in the past and start to dwell on this idea that, oh, it was the best back there in 2015 or 2017, 2018 or sometime before that. Folks, the best is not behind anybody in this room. If you're a born-again Christian, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we keep saying it around here all the time. Proverbs 4:18, the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter under the perfect day. It didn't say that the path was always going to be easy. It didn't say that there wasn't going to be challenges. But it did say the path of the righteous is going to grow brighter and brighter. Amen. The best is not behind you. The best is out in front of you. The greatest harvest for our lives personally are still ahead of us. The greatest harvest for this church is ahead of it. Amen. We're actually stepping into some brand new things. Of course, you're aware of our department called Jamestown City Revival. We have people now going out into this city. I mean, it's been on a very regular basis, witnessing and getting the gospel into people's hands and leading people to Christ and all these things that we've got planned, you know, coming up for the rest of this year and beyond. Folks, it's not a sprint to get, you know, that it's going to require to get everybody, you know, the gospel in this region. It's going to be a marathon. It's going to be ongoing. But as we move into those things, everything we do within our local church that produces souls being saved, right, we have to expect that challenges are going to come. You know, as soon as we started, you know, implementing and announcing and releasing this new department, and, you know, when we start seeing the fruit of it come in, all of a sudden, all these challenges start coming up, trying to stop those souls being saved. Some of it could be, you know, economic challenges, though we haven't, you know, experienced that so much here at the church. I'm just talking about with people, you know, personally or people, you know, getting critical or attacks or whatever it is. Folks, we should not be so surprised when we step out and start to, you know, win souls for Christ. There's going to be challenges. But I'm here to tell you, the best fruit for our lives personally, our best fruit for our lives, you know, in ministry and for this church, the greatest harvest is yet to come. Amen. It is the best days are ahead of us. Don't you dare let the devil start thinking that the past was better than your future. God doesn't live and dwell in the past. God doesn't point you back to your past. He said, old things have passed away. He said, Paul said, I press forward to the high calling and the mark in Jesus Christ. I move forward. I'm not sitting there looking back thinking, oh, that was so much better. No. The future is always better. Amen. Go to John 15. And I want to show you this in the word that fruitfulness honors God. Fruitfulness honors God. And when we say fruitfulness, that's another way of saying harvest. And when we say harvest, a lot of times people just start thinking, ooh, tell me about the money, the harvest of money. Well, how many of you know God's not against blessing you financially? He's not. But our hearts should not go there. Meaning we shouldn't lust after things. We should not think that money is our help. Money's not our help. Money's not our savior. Amen. And we just look to know God. It's not what we have. It's who we have. He is more valuable than anything on this earth. Of course, he's abundant and generous towards us. But when we talk about, you know, harvest, I mean, it's a harvest of souls. It's a harvest of character. It's a harvest of knowing God and knowing his word. A harvest of fellowshipping with him and knowing him. Amen. Praise God. Go to John 15. We're going to start in verse 1. I'm going to read several verses here. I love this passage, actually. Arguably, my favorite verse in the entire Bible is in this passage. It is John 15, 5 has always been my favorite. Praise God. Look at verse 1. Jesus speaking, if your words are read in your Bible, that means Jesus is talking. If the words are not read in your Bible, it means you need to get a new Bible. No, I'm just joking. I'm just kidding around. It says in verse 1, Jesus speaking, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, or we would say gardener or farmer. He says, every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it. That means he prunes it, cuts it back, that it may bring forth more fruit. Boy, there's a sermon in that verse. The pruning of the Lord. As you grow in God, He will start peeling things back in your life. It doesn't mean those things were wrong. It doesn't mean that God didn't have those things in your life for a season. But as you get, you know, as you start growing more and more in the Lord, he starts saying, okay, that was great for a time. Now time to back off of that. Yeah, that was fine for that season. Time to peel that away. Or, oh, that was fine. That was good. But no, you're supposed to stop that. Or he'll just straight up tell you, no, that was never of me. That was your action. Get rid of it. Right? Oh, yeah. He prunes us. That means he cuts things out of our lives so that we will bear more fruit for him and his kingdom. Oh, boy, I want to preach a message on that, but that's not where we're supposed to go. In verse 3, he says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. He said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. Everyone say much fruit. Much fruit. Amen. Much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. If a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Woo. Wow. Boy, that's a really interesting verse. Notice where that branch was. That branch was in the vine. That wasn't a branch outside the vine. That was a branch in the vine that just simply refused to bear fruit. It is then cut out of the vine, cast aside, and it's gathered and burned. Pastor, what does that mean? It means exactly what it says. It's really just that straightforward. And I know people don't want to preach, you know, these kinds of scriptures, but it's true. God does not accept a lack of fruitfulness. God is not okay with a life not bearing harvest. God's very name, God's presence, everything that he does, it's going to produce fruit. And if it doesn't produce fruit, He lets it go. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Well, let's get past that verse. That verse makes us all very uncomfortable. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, verse 7, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Notice what happens when the word dwells richly in you. You ask. Now, it's not talking about just selfish material desires. You know, it's not, I mean, people have taken this verse and abused it, but you can take something. The Bible says that when we pray and when we ask, we're supposed to know his will already. Amen. And you can take that and you can receive it and know that you have it. Amen. Ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified. You want to know what glorifies the Father? Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Amen. That you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. So the only disciples that Christ is willing to accept are fruitful ones. Only disciples there are in Christ are fruitful disciples. Oh boy, now that doesn't mean, that God's gonna throw you out because you make a mistake. Don't take that too far and say, well, you know, I've had a bad season, or I made some mistakes, or I failed at this or that. Listen, it's not talking about God casting you out because you missed it, you know, here and there, and you repented or whatever and got right with God. But it's talking about fruitfulness. And, you know, again, fruitfulness is another way of saying those that bear harvest, those that bear harvest for God. Harvest is very, very important to the Lord, and he is not going to accept anything less. Amen. And he says, God is glorified when you bear much harvest in this life. Amen. God is glorified when you win souls to the kingdom of God. God is glorified when you start to grow in obedience. God grows, is glorified when you grow in character and integrity. God is glorified when you sow the word into your heart. Amen. God is glorified when you're a person of mercy, love, and forgiveness. Amen. Praise God. God wants great harvest out of our lives. And I just wanted to camp out on this verse. He's glorified when we're fruitful. He's glorified when we bear harvest in our lives. And yes, you know, God is glorified when all your needs are abundantly met. God is glorified when you know, you grow in those principles of God that brought you into his full provision. Amen. God is glorified when you've obeyed God and you've done things according to the word, and over time you've grown and you have prospered. That brings God glory. Amen. It doesn't bring God glory to try to take a shortcut and lie and to try to get dishonest gain, but it brings glory to him over time as you've put him first and his provision flows into your life. Amen. Glory to God. Now go to Galatians chapter 6. The greatest harvest is yet to come. Why? Because God is glorified when you and I are fruitful. And don't you want to glorify him some more? You're not done glorifying God, are you? You don't think the greatest glory for God in your life was sometime in the past, do you? No, it's got to be sometime in the future. Amen. And you're going to see this in the Word. We'll go over to Galatians chapter 6. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I refuse to believe. I mean, my goodness, it's not even halftime as far as I'm concerned. Praise the Lord. Go over to Galatians chapter 6. Let's start down there in verse 7. We're going to camp out in this passage, again, a passage that you're familiar with. Paul says this, be not deceived. Be not deceived. It's very, very easy. You know, and people say, well, Pastor, you have no idea what I've been through. Listen, that doesn't mean your best days aren't ahead of you. Listen, I know you can go through some great heavyweight trials on this earth, things that other people can't even know, understand, or relate to, but God knows and understands, and he relates to it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Be not deceived. You remember what I've been saying over these last many, many months. 5 things that Jesus said to us in the end days. Number 1, remember out of Matthew 24, 5 things that he said to guard yourself against in the last days. Number 1, do not be deceived, right? 2, he said, do not be troubled or trouble-minded or troubled in your heart. He said, 3, do not get offended. Folks, I'm just going to keep, I always repeat these things to the church over and over because, folks, one day you're going to hear me say that over and over and it's going to click in you and say, oh my goodness, that's my assignment for these last days. I'm going to start again, even though we just got through, you know, the third one. 1, do not be deceived. 2, don't live with a troubled heart. It is a sin to lose your peace. It is a sin to lose peace and to become somebody who is dominated by worry. 3, don't get offended. Don't get offended. 3, don't betray one another. Don't betray one another. Remember what Jesus said? He said, don't betray one another. He said, many in the end days will just be betrayers. Remember what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He said there's going to be a lot of betrayers in the last days. And then 5, remember what Jesus said. He said, don't let the love for the things of God grow cold. Don't let your love for the things of God grow cold. 1, don't be deceived. 2, don't be troubled in your heart or your mind. 3, don't get offended. 4, don't betray people. 5, right? Don't let the love for the things of God to grow cold. You say, well, Pastor, that's me. The things of God have grown cold. Well, I guess I'm going to tell you something. God is not going to refire it for you. You are going to have to stir that up. You're going to have to face your flesh. You're going to have to crucify the flesh. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, praise God. Be not deceived. God is not mocked or blamed. For whatsoever a man or a person sows, that shall they also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary. Everyone say weary. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let me ask you this by that verse 9 there. Does God want us to reap? I'm going to ask you again, does God want us to reap? Yes, he does. He wants you to reap. He wants you to reap souls for the kingdom. He wants you to reap peace and joy. He wants you to reap a full provision. Amen. He wants you to reap a healthy marriage. He wants you to reap a life that you enjoy. Doesn't mean that tough times won't come. He wants you to reap. He says, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Go back to verse 7. Look at the first few words of verse 7. Be not deceived. And then he goes on to tell us, this is what you want to make sure you don't get deceived with. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that is also what he shall reap. All right. People are deceived. Do you see it in this verse? Do you see what it is that deceives people? People are deceived when they think they have nothing to do with their future. I'm going to say it again. People are deceived when they think that their actions has nothing to do with their future. Do you see that? God is not mocked. When are we going to reap? Well, we saw in verse 9, in due season, an appointed time that is yet in the future. There is a time for us in the future to reap what God has for us. Amen. There's a place and a time to walk into things that only God could have for you. I mean, children can be that. You know, relationships can be that. Influence can be that, right? Greater levels of peace in your home, you know, greater levels of marriage. I mean, things that God has. You don't just reap just once. Does somebody get into farming just to have one harvest season? No, they choose that vocation for life, and they know that harvest season comes around every single year. You see what I mean? They don't just say, I'm going to be a farmer, and I'm just going to go one time, one harvest season. No, there's many harvest seasons with God. You know, and there's many appointed times for us to reap. But when the Bible says there's an appointed time, that means it's in your future. folks, there is more reaping to be had in your future. There is more harvest to be had in your future. The greatest harvest is yet to come, because the Bible says that God goes from glory to glory. Amen. Stop buying into the sadness of our society that's always looking back. Yeah, I'll tell you what, politically speaking, and maybe even morally in our country and so on, yeah, there were some better times in the past, but we're not living there. We're not living on what the world says was good back there. We're living on what God says is waiting for us up here. Yes. Amen. Glory to God. You know, not to say that it's not good now, or not to say that it's bad now. All right. Be not deceived. People are deceived when they think that they have nothing to do with their future. They think they're deceived when they think that their actions have no consequences. All right. You know, we have to know and understand, you know, there's a future, and what we're doing, what we're sowing now is going to, what we're going to reap in the future, all right? And so we have a real part to play. Praise the Lord. You know, we sometimes act like, well, bad decisions don't have any consequences. Well, that would be deception, wouldn't it? To think that your actions aren't going to produce negative consequences if you're making bad decisions. But you know what also is deception? To keep doing good without expecting good things to happen. There's a lot of Christians that are living wonderful lives who are very in love with God. They seek Him, and yet they're living this life with Jesus, doing a fantastic job, and they don't think that due season is coming. That's deception too. It's deception to believe that you've been faithful all this time, loyal to the right things, doing all the right stuff without a new season coming into your life. Folks, when I say this, I'm going to say this proverbially. Good things are going to happen to me. Yes. I'm going to believe it, because if I'm sowing the right decisions, then good things are going to come. And the Bible says God wants that to happen. And when I say that, that good that comes into my life, it's not for me to camp out on it selfishly. It's just to reach out and be a greater influence for people that know Jesus Christ. If the people of the world aren't seeing a better harvest than they had, why would they want what we have? Amen. Yes, it's deception to not think that consequences would be the result of bad decisions. But we also get deceived, where we're being faithful and yet we're still acting down and sad like a good season isn't on the way. I'm here to tell you, if you've been faithful and if you'll believe it, all right, whatsoever you've been sowing, that's what you're going to reap. Amen. Folks, when I say this, I don't say this in any pride. I've been sowing some good things. I look out a group of people, you've been sowing some good things. Well, guess what? You're going to reap. Praise the Lord. And don't let deception say, well, I've just been doing all this and nothing good is ever going to happen. No, that would be a violation of God's word. Amen. People are deceived when they think they have nothing to do with their own future. You have everything to do with your own future. People have this idea, well, if God wants it, this is some random thing that God wants for me today, well, then maybe it'll happen. That is the biggest bunch of malarkey I've ever heard. You know, I hear that out of the mouths of Christians all the time. Well, if God just wants it, you know, if you know, God just happens to do some random great thing today, God is not doing any random things. Our God is not a mystery. Not to us. He lives in us. He is not a mystery to us. He is not random. You understand? He tells us what He wants to do. Amen. And I hear people all the time, they say, well, if God just wanted it. I saw this commercial, and I've mentioned this before. And man, when I saw it, I chuckled and I said, that'll preach. I don't know. I don't think it wasn't even on TV. I think it was on a video or something, and they play those few second ads or whatever. And I saw this. It was this banking commercial, and it was teaching people about investing, you know, and preparing for the future. And they're singing this kind of old style hokey song. And the people in the ad were older and they were sitting in this tiny apartment. They have hardly anything to their lives, and they're singing this funny song about, don't let your future you hate you. Has anyone seen that commercial? And they're like, here I am, your future you, and I sit here doing nothing. Here I am. You know, it's a song like that. And they're complaining because when they were younger, they didn't make the right decisions. And then they end the song with, don't let your future you hate you. You know, and I heard that advertisement and I thought, that'll preach. That will preach. Because we don't understand how much our future is determined by our own decisions. You know, people just think, well, God just forces you into some future. No, your decisions will either destroy destinies or overturn destinies. Amen. That's absolutely right. Yes. Praise the Lord. Now go up there to verse 8. Your future is waiting on your good decisions. And we're going to talk about some of those decisions. And he says in verse 8, he says, for he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. God didn't do that. The devil didn't do it either. Right? He's talking about the person. The person reaps corruption because he sowed to the flesh. The devil didn't do it. God didn't do it. And there, that corruption that was waiting for them in the future was just a consequence of a decision in their past. Oh boy. It says also, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And now look at verse 9. It says, and let us not be weary. Everyone say weary. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let's just get a load of what verse 9 is telling us. If we do good and keep doing good and keep doing good and keep doing good and keep doing good, our future is growing brighter and brighter. See, now we know how the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter until the perfect day, because they spend each day sowing the right things into their future. Your decisions are an investment, or God forbid, a divestment into your future. Everything you're doing, every action that we take, things that we speak, it's going to show up in our future. Amen. It says in verse 9, though, it says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, that means an appointed time in the future, we're going to reap. We're going to walk into something that God has prepared. You're going to walk into an open door that nothing else could have, you know, provided for you. It was because that due season, God prepared it, and the decisions were there to get you into that place. Just think, if we keep doing, if we keep walking in love, if we keep forgiving one another, you know, if we keep, you know, coming to the house of God, we keep offering up our praise and worship, we keep bringing our tithe, we keep bringing our offerings, we keep serving in the house of God. Amen. You know, we keep in prayer. We keep filling our hearts with the word of God. We stay loyal to our Christian brothers and sisters. We stay loyal to our leadership. We stay, you know, under God's graces. Think about all that well-doing. Amen. The Bible says it just keeps building up, building up, building up. Weeks and months and years. And all of a sudden, a door opens that nobody else can shut. Jesus says, I am he that opens doors that no one else can shut, or I shut a door that no one else can open. And all of a sudden, something, you know, that God has for you opens up. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to stop doing good. I'm going to keep moving forward. I'm going to keep preaching the word of God. I'm going to keep praising him. I'm going to keep worshiping him. I'm going to keep giving. I'm going to keep tithing. I'm going to stay faithful. I'm going to keep serving. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep studying. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's why I say, and I say it again proverbially, because people will get upset at me. That sounds arrogant. I'm not trying to say arrogant. Good things are going to happen. Good things have happened. Good things are happening. Amen. Praise the Lord. As this church continues to reach out for souls, as this church continues to reach out for more harvest and light in this city and in this region, there's going to be things and opportunities that are going to come to us. Amen. The Bible says that in due season, we're going to reap a chosen time, an appointed date in the future. Glory to God. Did your future get better today? Did your future get better today? It sure did. You came to church. Let's face it, on a Wednesday night, how many of you have ever been tempted not to feel like being in church on a Wednesday night? Anyone who's normal? Anyone who's normal? All right. Of course. If you said, nope, never had that feeling come through me at all, then I'll say, well, we know who the liars are. Right? We know who needs repentance. We know who needs a devil cast out of them or something, right? I mean, of course, our feelings, you know, and our flesh, you know, try to keep us away. But that's why the scripture says, it tells us in verse 9, what the greatest enemy of well-doing is. It's weariness. It's weariness. You know, getting tired of doing right. Do you know why human beings, Christians who are living in a human flesh, why we get tired or weary of doing these same faithful things week in, week out, year in, year out? Because the devil starts to move in and tell us, see, all your greatest harvest is behind you. All the best days are behind you. And when the human body and the human flesh and the mind starts to feel like nothing new is happening, nothing is changing, we start to grow weary. And when we grow weary, what is weariness? A temptation to stop doing what you know is right. That's absolutely correct. Let us not be weary or grow tired in this well-doing or this obedience to God. Because every time you obey God, your future just got better. Your future got better right today. If you prayed today and spent some time with the Lord, your future got better. If you were faithful to set aside your tithe with a paycheck or whatever, and you bring that into the house of the Lord, your future got better. If you decided to lift your voice and to start praising the Lord, your future got better. Don't let the future you hate you. I'm totally plagiarizing that. When I saw that couple singing that on that video, I mean, I just leaned right over. I'm thinking, I know they didn't mean this to be as deep as it really is. Because it is absolutely true. All right. We shall reap if we faint not. What does faint mean? It means to quit, you know, or to adopt a form of quitting. You know, when people get weary, all of a sudden, you know, let's face it. If you're working hard and you're doing right, let's use like a work analogy. You know, if you're working manual labor, you know, you're working, you know, on your feet, you know, and you get tired or whatnot. Let's use this illustration. It's talking about farming and things. A farmer who's out in the field, he starts very early and goes to bed very late. How many of you know that's a tiring day? And what happens when human beings get tired of something? They want to take it easy. The flesh will want an easier path. Folks, I'm going to say something. It can happen. It has happened. It does happen right in a church just like this one. Folks, I do not take back anything that I've ever preached. Not one thing. Say, Pastor, what are you saying? Everything you've ever said from the pulpit is 100% the best in gospel? No, I'm not saying that I haven't made mistakes. I'm just saying I take none of it back. You know, meaning, you know, overall, I stand by the ministry that I've preached, you know, and I have no apologies for it. But I understand that we preach a very convicting word around here. And, you know, that, you know, we get challenged all the time because the word challenges us all the time. And sometimes people over time, that gets tiring on them because they've strived for that standard and they keep pushing forward, and yet things don't change as quick as they thought it would. And all of a sudden there's a desire to get weary or to seek a more comfortable path. Folks, if we start to get weary in what the word says to do, the first thing that we're going to do is seek a more casual God. And I'm not talking about whether you are wearing a suit tonight or not, all right? Though, you know, in a leadership standpoint, you know, a leadership should, you know, keep that standard. And I don't apologize for that. I don't care who gets upset at what suit I wear. I'll tell you what, when I started pastoring, the weird people didn't wear a suit and tie in the pulpit. I mean, the weird people. It would, as a minister, it would get the pastor gossip line going, did you hear so-and-so is preaching in jeans and a t-shirt? And it would just go through, I'd like to believe I stayed out of that. I don't really particularly care in that way. But now it's going all throughout the pipeline. He wears a suit and tie. I hear it all the time. Listen, everybody, I'm going to continue to wear a suit and tie. Because if it's the best I've got, it's going to be the best that God gets out of me. And I do not care. Well, just go easier. People that want a casual Christianity are just tired. They're tired. Because somewhere along the line, they forgot to believe that a good and great harvest is on its way. There is a due season. There is an appointed time of being honorable before God, to be honorable in the house of God. I don't apologize for it. Amen. Amen. Say, Pastor, I just need word for it. You need word for that. Go and spend a little time in the book of Exodus. When God came down to the mountain, he said, he stopped all of his people. He said, stop right there. He said, don't for one second step onto my mountain without washing your clothes and bringing your best. Remember that? Say, well, Pastor, you know, I just don't believe that. And of course, no. I'm not saying Jesus rejects somebody who doesn't have nice clothes. Folks, don't take this into... I'm talking about whatever your best is. Do your best for God, not just in, you know, clothes that you wear. Folks, please don't take this the wrong way. Do your best for God, whatever it is. Whatever it is. Amen? And of course, we understand. I mean, on a Wednesday night, people are getting out of work and they're just doing everything they can, you know, to get into a service. Folks, don't misunderstand it. But I'll tell you what. What happens when people grow weary and when they start to fail to remember that we're going to reap in due season? They start to adopt and to cry out, I want an easier message. Oh, don't preach that righteousness message anymore. Don't preach that praying, you know, message anymore. Don't preach about meditating in the word. Don't preach about being filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't preach about tithing. Take it easy. And what that is, that's a cry of weariness. It's a cry of weariness to cry out for an easier message. Hello? I know it. People don't want to hear it. I get it. Believe me, my flesh doesn't want to say it. But it is absolutely true when we just say, oh, just lighten up on the things of God. Just take it easy with God. Don't ever take it easy with God. I say this, I don't take myself very serious at all, but I take the things of God very, very seriously. You know, always, you know, if you find yourself like, well, I just want it easier. I want it more fun. I want church to be a social club. I want it to be, you know, about sports and games and all this stuff. You're weary. You're tired. And you want to sit down. And I'll tell you, there's only one reason why you're tired. Or me. I'm not preaching to just you. You know, for every Christian, myself included, the reason why we get weary is because we are not in the presence of the Lord. If you get into his presence and worship him and meditate in his word and you get into that place, you come out of there floating on the balls of your feet. You know, you come out with a song. You come out with your burdens lifted. Amen. The only reason, you know, Jesus says, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. He said, I'll fill you. I'll give you peace. I'll strengthen you. I can, you know, you can do all things through Christ who personally infuses strength into us. Can we bring that up? Where is that? Philippians 4:13 in the Amplified. I'll tell you, this verse will just fire you up. Glory to God. Good days are coming. The greatest harvest is yet to come. Don't get tired. I'll tell you what, when you come out of the presence of God, see, the Bible says, you know, the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. But the full soul loathes even a honeycomb. Meaning if we're full of everything else, we don't want to hear all that God has to say. But when we're hungry for God, you will smile and say, correct me, Lord. God spoke to me today and he did this and I loved it. Right? I'm just saying that generally. I was just saying that as an example. I mean, I just love to hear God's voice even when it's corrective. If you're in love with God, you don't mind correction. You don't mind hearing a convicting word. Amen. The Bible says that, right? To a hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. We rejoice in correction. Amen. Praise God. Can we bring that up, please? Philippians 4:13 in the Amplified. Do we have it? There it is. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything, equal to anything. Through him who infuses inner strength into me, I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. If you've ever wondered how to describe what coming out of prayer in a time with God should feel like, there it is. There it is. Hallelujah. I am ready for anything. I am equal to anything. Actually, the scripture says we're more than conquerors through him that has loved us. Hallelujah. The greatest harvest is yet to come. Are you here tonight? Amen. Well, he says, go back now over there to Galatians 6:9. Folks, don't get tired. I mean, it happens to all of us. I say, well, Pastor, have you ever gotten spiritually tired? Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, well, have you ever gotten to that place where you just, you know, feel like you just don't want to go any further with God? Yeah. Absolutely. That's when you find out what you are. That's what you find out where when there's nothing left but your love for God. Amen. Don't grow weary in well-doing because there is an appointed time in your future. Are you here tonight? Amen. Now, real quickly, go to Mark chapter 4. We'll end here. Hallelujah. The greatest harvest is yet to come, but your decisions. Don't get deceived thinking that your decisions have nothing to do with your future. They have everything to do with your future. Mark chapter 4. Hallelujah. Don't grow weary. Don't grow to a point where you want things just easier in God. Oh, I just would rather take it easy. I just rather not do that. I know I used to go to, you know, midweek service. I know I used to do this, but I just don't want to do that anymore. I'm just too tired. Oh, boy. Mark chapter 4 and verse 14, you know these scriptures. This is Jesus explaining the parable of the sower. He's just simply using this illustration of a planter or a farmer that has seed and goes and casts it into the ground. And Jesus, you know, he's explaining how you get harvest in your life. He says, the sower sows the word. Yeah, think about that. God wants the word to be like a seed to get into your heart and to produce a harvest. What does that tell us? He wants you to reap. What does that mean? The greatest harvest is yet to come because the word can still be sown. You can hear the word of God in church. You can sow it into your heart at home. As long as I have this, the greatest harvest is yet to come. Amen. That's why I tell you, I'm just going to keep on doing right. I'm going to keep putting the word of God in my heart. I'm going to keep renewing my mind. I'm going to stay faithful in my local church. I'm not going to get distracted about what other people are doing. I'm not going to attack people. I'm not going to criticize them. I'm not going to sit there and hope they fail and all this stuff. I'll tell you, all that is just sowing to the flesh. It is going to reap corruption. I'll tell you, we're living in some very deceptive days. Don't be deceived. Don't get troubled. don't get offended, don't betray one another, right? And don't let the love of God, the things for God, grow cold. Amen. Jesus says, the sower sows the word. God is just saying, get my word into your heart and watch what it'll do for you. Amen. Watch what it'll do for the kingdom of God. Watch what it'll do for your marriage. Watch what it'll do for your finances. That's true. It says, and these are they, and of course, Jesus described, you know, four different kinds of soil that received the seed of the word. He says, and these are they by the wayside, which means the roadside or the shoulder of the road. Not a very good place to grow crops. It means it's hard, it's padded down, it's not tilled, it's not plowed, it's not prepared. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. The first kind of soil is the hard-hearted people. Hard-heartedness. That's what the wayside is. It's the hard soil on the side of the road. And the seed, he said, lands on top of the soil and the fowls of the air just come and they eat it right up. Because it's never even planted. It never even gets below the surface. You know, folks, you know where hard-heartedness comes from? Are you ready for this? Or I should just say maybe one example of hard-heartedness. Or if you want, you know, to check up on if you have hard-heartedness at all. Hard-heartedness is a result of being petty. Petty. Pettiness. Do you know what pettiness means? It means small thinking. You know, and accusing people of small little faults. Are you here tonight? Someone who can look at what somebody wears, somebody that can, you know, look at what somebody drives or what somebody has or their personality or whatever it is. And if they go and they attack you based on those things, they are petty. They are small thinkers. God doesn't bless small thinkers. He cannot grow a harvest in the life of a petty person who is always looking to accuse somebody for their faults and, you know, attack them and criticize them. Hello? Pettiness is hard-heartedness. Folks, you are hard-hearted towards your spouse if you're always looking at them and, you know, finding every little fault. You always do this, you always do that. That's pettiness. Somebody that strikes up a conversation with you and say, can you believe so-and-so? I can't believe they do this. It just annoys me. I just hate this when they do that. That's pettiness. You know? Don't be a petty person. Because petty people are hard-hearted people. And God is not growing any harvest in the lives of those that are petty and small. Amen? Amen. Oh, yeah, praise the Lord. Look what Jesus said here in verse 16. He says, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground. So he went from the roadside. Now he's talking about stony ground, meaning a mix of rocks and dirt. Who, when they've heard the word, immediately they receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves. And endure only but a time or a little while afterward when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are, oh boy, you're ready on that one. Immediately they are what? Offended. God can grow no harvest in the offended heart. Amen. Think about this. Immediately they are offended. He says, the word gets in, but they have no root. Meaning, if you plant a seed in real shallow dirt, you know, it doesn't have enough room to grow deep roots. Or you can say it this way, offended people have no depth. I'm going to say it again. Offended people, if you are easily offended, your character is shallow. God cannot grow a true harvest in shallow dirt. Someone who's easily mad, someone that gets easily offended, Someone that gets ticked off at their spouse real easy. They get ticked off at their boss real easy. They get ticked off at their church real easy. They get mad and offended. Yeah, they might have received the word with joy, but now that offense is uprooting what God is trying to plant in their life. Don't be deceived. Don't be troubled. Don't be offended, right? Don't betray one another, and don't let the love of the things of God grow cold. Look what he says in verse 18. Folks, I don't know about you. I don't want to be without depth. If you're easily offended at somebody, that means there's a shallowness in your character. I know that. That sounds like, ouch. Have you ever discovered shallowness in your character? Anybody? Anybody? I said this to someone last night. I was on the phone having a conversation, and it was about some pretty serious stuff. And it was, this person was not out to attack me or anything, but you know, talked about, you know, some, you know, individuals that want to attack me and things, and they brought up the list of their attacks on me, you know, and stuff. And I'm just like, I was like, are you kidding me? That's all you got? I said, if you want a better and a stronger list of my faults, come and ask me. I'll tell you, I'll give you a worse list than that. Because this person said, I just want to let you know, man, if that's your biggest problems, you're doing pretty good. I said, well, man, I tell you what, here, I'll give you a list to give them. Go give them this list. Go give them this list. I am well more acquainted with my faults and failures. Anybody in here, are you well acquainted with your faults or the weaknesses or sometimes when you discover shallowness of your character? Oh yeah, amen. But I don't say that to attack you. I say it to inspire, you know, myself and you that I just don't want to be a person of shallow character. If you're quick to temper, quick to anger, right? Quick to speak, easily offended. It's probably because you have shallow roots. Oh boy. Well, this is the words of Jesus. Amen. And then verse 18, and these are they which are sown among thorns. So you can be the hard-hearted roadside. You can be the easily offended stony ground. And now Jesus says, this is where seed is sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes what? Unfruitful. Does God want the word to be unfruitful in your life? No, he wants great fruitfulness in your life. But now the cares of this world, that would be worries, that would be anything that you would pursue over the things of God. There are so many people these days that care about so many other things over the things of God. And I know I say it a lot. People get mad. They care more about sports. They care more about activities. They care more about this or that. And I'm telling you, that's just thorny ground. They have a lot of cares. That word care doesn't mean just to worry. It means whatever you place your care on in front of the things of God. Well, sorry, Pastor, I don't go to church very much anymore. I just don't care enough. That's basically what they're saying. Well, I'm sorry, you know, I just care more about this. I care more about that. Be careful. Be very, very careful about that. That's why, folks, you know, a pastor isn't, you know, reminding you about midweek service and talking about, you know, different, you know, times when we have opportunities to, you know, do something for the Lord. I'm not doing that because I'm just trying to have good attendance at these things. I'm doing that so you develop within your character to care more about something God is doing than something the world is doing. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to attack you or insult you. If I sat up here and acted like there weren't times where I'd rather be doing something else in my flesh, of course. You know, there's times when, you know, I get absolutely drilled in my thought life with you know, temptations to, you know, want to be somewhere else or do something else. Folks, but that's what, you know, those times we stir ourselves up, get faithful for God. And then we'll end right here in verse 20, and Jesus says, and these are they which are sown on what kind of ground? Good ground. Do we have any good ground here tonight? All right, wow, this side of the church wants to be good ground, or maybe this side was just a little slow on the uptake there. I don't know about you, I want to be good ground. good ground. Here's what the good ground does. They hear the word, they receive it, and they bring forth fruit. Everyone say harvest. Some 30-fold, 60-fold, or 100-fold. See, that's what God wants. God wants us to be good ground. And he says, if you're hard-hearted, nothing's going to grow. He said, if you're easily offended, nothing's going to grow. If you're easily putting and placing a greater care on other stuff instead of the things of God, nothing's going to grow. But Paul said this, don't grow weary in well-doing. Just keep on doing what the Word of God says in due season. Listen, I know it seems like the season. What's taking so long? You know, our minds think that way. And we're like, where's all this, you know, harvest that God says? Well, I don't know about you. I believe it. And I'm not going to start slacking with God just because, you know, things get challenging. Amen. I'm not looking for a casual, seeker-sensitive Christianity. I don't believe there's any, in God's eyes, there's no such thing. He does not accept, you know, a casual Christianity. I want to be good ground. I want to, you know, believe that we're going to reap in due season. I want to, you know, just keep on doing right. I'm going to keep on preaching the word. I'm going to keep on praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to keep on praising and worshiping God. I'm going to be found in the house of the Lord. Amen. I am rooted and grounded in the house of the Lord, according to the scripture. I'm going to just keep on tithing. I'm going to keep on, you know, giving and serving and singing and praising and praying and meditating and feeding on the word. And we are going to continue to show this city the gospel of Jesus Christ and give every man, woman, and child an opportunity to know Jesus so that they could be saved for eternity. And God's got an appointed time for every single one of us. Did you get something out of this here tonight? Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet and let's just praise him. Father, we believe the greatest harvest is yet to come. The greatest harvest is yet to come. The best is not behind us. As long as the word is still here and as long as we are sowing the word and not growing weary in well-doing, the greatest harvest is yet to come. Father, we are not going to be hard-hearted, roadside kind of dirt where we're petty and small. Oh, Lord, the only way we end up like that is that we're not spending time with you. The only way we would grow fully tired and start to drift back is that we've allowed our fellowship with you to drift back. For Lord, you empower us and you give us and infuse inner strength into us. You make us ready for anything, equal to anything. Thank you, Lord God. Blessed is your name. Father, you are glorified when we bear much fruit. Good decisions, doing right, obeying the word, regardless of what it takes. Lord, you know this more than anyone. I just say this for the sake of all of us. How many times I have literally asked you, Lord, should I go easier? Should I just take something off, back off the word just a little bit? Father, you are holy and good. And Lord God, we want to bear all the harvest that you have for us. We want to walk into those appointed times. Lord, thank you. Yeah. I'm going to say that. That just came up in my spirit. You cannot circumvent the process of serving in the house of the Lord. You can't cut that out and expect to get where you need to get. God has called his children to serve and to serve one another in the house of God. You can't go around that process. You can't skip that and expect to be used in a greater measure. You can't skip it. You can't subtract that from the equation and expect to get the right answer. Father, we know and we understand that our decisions, that we play a major role in our future. Either we're going to overturn destinies, or we're going to be overcome by them. And Father God, we just praise you. We know that you have such good in store. There's souls to be reached in all over this city, all over this region. Thank you, Father. We praise you. We pray for every man, woman, and child in Chautauqua County. Father, we claim them out of the darkness, into the light. Father, we pray for every man, woman, and child in Erie County. And Father, we call them out of darkness and into the light. And Lord, we cannot just say those things and confess those things. We got to get out and do something about it. And Lord, thank you that by your leading we are. And Lord, we know challenges will come and yeah. When you part of a local fellowship and your fellowship steps forward and starts to reach out for lost souls, anything that is unstable, whether it is in your thinking or instability in your life, it's going to be shaken. It's going to be tested. The harvest is attacked and tested every day. And if you are part of a fellowship that is yearning for more souls to come into the kingdom of God, any loose items in your life, so to speak, any loose ends in your character, it's going to be shaken up. It's going to be shaken up. The devil is not going to lay down. The devil is not going to just retreat when you step out to take souls out of his grasp. So be aware and be prepared and understand that those thoughts that have come against you in your mind, they are not heaven sent. That is not God telling you that in your mind. He communicates with your born again spirit, not with the thoughts in your head. Father, we just praise you today. We glorify you. We're just going to keep doing right. We're 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 going to contend for the faith that which was delivered to our forefathers. There is no progressive theology, meaning there is no new thing. We don't look forward in terms of looking for a new way to read the Bible or some new theology that we need to discover. He tells us to go and contend for the faith that was delivered thousands of years ago. We don't look back through the time, so to speak. It's not like the past was better then, but the word then is still the same word now. Do what's in the word. There's no new way that needs to be invented. There's no new gospel that needs to be presented. Thank you, Lord God. We need to contend for the faith that was delivered to those in the early church. Father, we just praise you tonight. Let's just worship him for a moment and we'll be dismissed. Father, we glorify you. Thank you, Lord God, that you want us to be fruitful and you have harvest for us. The greatest harvest is yet to come. The greatest harvest is yet to come. The greatest amount of souls that this church will reach is yet to come. Your greatest breakthroughs are yet to come. You have not grown weary. You have not stopped in your well-doing. There is an appointed time. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. We praise you. We worship you. Let's get ready to take up our offering here tonight, and let's just honor God as we do. Father, we just bless you. We thank you for this opportunity. Lord, thank you for these past several months and having these Wednesday nights. And Lord, we look forward to what you'll have for us over the summer. And Lord, we'll look forward to, you know, these services, you know, resuming in in the near future. Father, we just call it an honor to be in the house of God. We call it an honor to be a giver. And Lord, as we sow good seed into good ground, harvest is imminent. We praise you, Lord. We never will lack one day in our life because you're our Father. You meet and supply all of our needs by your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Father, it is in that name we pray. Amen and amen. Brothers, you may serve the people. Well, did you get some help here tonight? Well, I'll tell you what, I appreciate everybody. You know, you've been faithful over these last several months, you know, to be here on Wednesday nights. It just means, of course, more to the Lord than anybody, but it means a lot to me, and I'm just very grateful for it. Amen. Did you get some help here tonight? Folks, don't allow that feeling to come on you. Like, you know, don't just sit there and be like, man, it was always better back there. No. God isn't pointing you back there. He's pointing you forward. Amen. Father God, we just bless you tonight. We glorify you. Lord, I command your hand of blessing upon each one. And Father, we just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.